For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
All right, welcome back on the show. My name is Carrington Harrison. We're going to head to Arrowhead Stadium right now to hear from Andy Reid as we get you ready for the NFL draft.
Mandatory camp, voluntary, in other words, and the guys can pick and choose when they show up or not show up, in other words. So it's we're not really going to get into who's here and who's not here and all that bit. That's not how this one works. We're sure grateful for some of the new additions that we've had to the roster with Christian Fulton, Elijah Mitchell, Jalen Moore, Gardner Minshew, Jerry Tillery. I mean, these are some of the newer guys, and then we've re-signed a bunch of guys. So that's been a plus. We also lost a few guys, in which we know. I know Brett covered that with you with a couple questions about Tooney and so on, and Justin Reed and Hopkins and all of that bit. So, but those are Jalen, Justin Watson, and Wentz and Wharton. So those are all good football players. In this day and age, it's tough to keep everybody in a roster hole like that, but we sure feel like we've filled in the blanks with some good football players. And that's same with the draft coming up this week. We look forward to getting into that. We've got 8 picks there, 2 second round picks, a first day pick, and so on as we go through there. So it should be, it should be a good positive outcome once Brett gets done with that. I know his guys have worked their tail off getting ready for the draft, and along with the coaches, which they've included. But again, as the coaches were a small part of the whole, but my hat goes off to Brett and his staff for the job that they've done and all the prep time that they've put in and travel time. So, other than that, I don't have much to add, but I'll open it up to questions here. Fire away.
Let's go ahead and kick it off with Pete. Go ahead, Pete.
Hey, Coach. Hope you're doing well. I was wondering about Jalen Moore. Obviously, not a ton of experience starting, but you guys seem to have confidence in him. I guess, what told you and the team that he could be capable of doing this as a starting left tackle?
Yeah, so I felt Jalen, well, first of all, he's backing up a pretty good player in San Francisco, arguably the best ever play a game. So, I mean, and then when he got his opportunity, he took full advantage of it. We also remember him because he played next to Caliendo for 3 years at Western Michigan there. I think we lead the league in players from Western Michigan, but now that we've added him. But listen, he was a good football player there. When he had opportunities in San Francisco, he was a good player there. We thought that he would be a nice addition to to our offensive line as we continue to work that. So
we'll go next to Adam Teicher.
Hey, Andy, how you doing?
Good. I thought you retired. You're back.
Calm down. You're getting rid of me. It's just going to take another couple months.
All right, Doug, you took those teams. Calm down. I thought you were running.
We're getting there. We're getting there. Hey, wanted to ask you about Rashee Rice and Jared Wiley as well. How are those guys doing in their rehabs, and what will their status be when you guys get together on the field in the spring, but also when camp starts? And Sid, I'll have a second question as well.
Yeah, I can't necessarily give you the they're doing well. That's taking place right now, but I can't tell you when they'll be back exactly here. But both have been busting their tail. They're running, which is good, and we'll just see how it goes going forward here. We don't have them here on the field right now with us, so we've got to see the football part of it as we go.
Okay. And when we last saw Kingsley, Suamataia, he was playing a guard, obviously, up in Denver in that last game. Is that where he'll play when you guys get started again in a few weeks? Will he be a guard, number one? And number two, what led you guys to make that move with him? What did you see in him that led you to believe he'd be a productive player at that spot?
Yeah, when we brought him in, we knew he had that flexibility. We just felt that way athletically, and he's a very good athlete. He can run and he can basketball, do all the things that he needs to do. I thought he felt more comfortable in there as a young guy. Sometimes you see guys that start in there and then they work their way back outside. But so we stuck him in there, and he did a nice job against Denver. That was one of the bright spots in a game that didn't have many. So that was, I thought he did a good job. And that's where we'll put him. He'll start in there with Mike Caliendo. So they'll compete for that spot.
Let's go next to Vahe. Go ahead, Vahe.
Hey, Andy.
Hi, Vahe.
A couple of things, if I could, Sid. One is just, Andy, you're in phase one, and I'm just curious, for you personally, what's the difference in your own mentality coming out of the way this Super Bowl went versus the last couple? I mean, you're so process oriented typically. I mean, does anything change in your mind as you're preparing for the next go round based on just what it's been like this time around?
Yeah. So I'm excited to get going again. And it's been fun to go back in and dig in on the season and either come up with new things and or correct the things that we still like and are bringing back. I think it's a great time for the players. It's slowed down to where they get to see all the videos, the cut-ups, the work that the coaches have put in to do these evaluations and to teach. And so, and to learn from the player standpoint. It's also good communication, so they can share ideas. Players and coaches, they can ask questions, feel free about that. And there's no rush to do so. And at the same time, they get their lifting in and running in that they need to build that base to get them through the season.
Is that different somehow than it would be a year ago?
No, I'd tell you it's similar. Yeah, similar. Okay. Isn't it? Yeah.
And sorry, the one other thing, I don't mean to squeeze a third in, but I do. You've had a nice relationships with your former Missouri players over the years, and I'm sure you're aware of Andy Locke recently dying. And I just wonder about what you recall from his playing days, and any thoughts you have had about him over the years.
Yeah, it's a sad deal, but what a great guy, and he's left a nice legacy for us all here too. That we can cherish if we decide to go out to dinner. He, the true flavor of a offensive lineman. He has these beautiful restaurants in town here that are great. But what a great guy, great human being. I had a chance to go out to a tribute to him in Lee Summit there with a bunch of the ex players and. From Missouri, and Jay Greenwood being his roommate for all those years, and and best friends with him, went to the culinary school there, hotel management school at the University of Missouri, which is a tough school to get into. Both of them had graduated from there and have had real productive and positive jobs and or put themselves in great financial positions. So, but my heart goes out to the family for sure. And Drew, who we all know as a player in the National Football League, I know he had a great relationship with his dad too. So that's, my heart goes out to him.
Thanks a lot, Andy.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll go next to Matt Derrick.
Hey, Coach, and two questions, if you don't mind, Sid. But one, 5 years ago, if we told you that you'd still be doing meetings virtually and doing it in the first phase of OTAs, would you have believed it? Could you have believed that a ball coach like yourself would have embraced this as much to kind of help your team a little bit?
Listen, Matt, I think it's one of the positives that came out of that, probably for a lot of professions. I mean, here we're doing this right now virtually, and that didn't happen before either. So, you can use it as a teaching tool, and that's something that the players have perfected, we perfected, and feel comfortable doing. But no, I wouldn't have seen that before the whole COVID year showed up.
And you mentioned Gardner Minshew coming in. This is the first time Patrick's, really going to have maybe a principal backup behind him that's younger than he is. Is there a benefit to that, especially having somebody like Gardner that maybe is a little bit like him as far as that gunslinger mentality in that quarterback room to help him kind of dissect things, since Gardner's had a lot of experience too?
Yeah, he sure has. He's a good football player. I think it'll be a good relationship between the two of them. They both know of each other and respect each other. And I think they look forward to working together. They can speak more on that when you have a chance to talk to them. But Gardner is a humble kid with a great personality, loves to play the game. And all of those are the same things that Pat has too. So it should be a good working relationship there.
We'll go next to Sam McDowell.
Hey, Andy. Obviously, Patrick is doing this virtually. I just wonder, ahead of time, what kind of guidance do you provide him? I mean, is he drawing up how to spend those guys spend their time down there? Is there a script of sorts that you provide?
Yeah, you know what, Sam? We don't do that. First of all, it's not legal to do that by rules, by the NFL rules. So, and really, to be honest with you, Pat doesn't need that, especially right now with the experience he has and the experience that the receivers have. So that have joined him last year when we had some new faces or young guys in there, it was a little, it was a little different. He had to really prep for that. But this year, he can kind of go out and work on the things that he knows the guys need worked on and the routes and that. So I think it's even a better situation this year than it was last.
That is Andy Reid as he is meeting with the media. We'll continue to keep an ear on it. If he says anything interesting, we certainly will make a cut of it and we will play it for you. Trent McDuffie is going to meet with the media coming up in just a bit. And then after that, he's going to call into our radio show. Really excited to talk to one of the best corners in the National Football League. Coming up on the other side, let's get back to the NFL draft. We'll do that before Trent McDuffie calls in. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison.
This man was a bona fide scrub.
On 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, The easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
Founded in 1964, Fremont Bank understands the difference 60 years can make. It's the difference between serving a family business and being dedicated to a family business as a family business. The difference between looking at spreadsheets and looking at possibilities. The difference between deposits that go into a vault and deposits that go back into your community. So what difference does 60 years make? All the difference in the world. Fremont Bank. Here for you. Here for good.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now, I understand the flaw in this exercise, but I still believe that it is going to be a meaningful and worthwhile exercise. So there was a trade-up idea for the Chiefs. And the trade-up idea was that the Chiefs would move up from 31 to 22, 23, 24, somewhere in that range. It would probably cost them, obviously, their first-round pick. You are moving up, so you swap picks. You would have to trade your second third-round pick. So they have two third-round picks. They have the Titans' third-round pick. They got that for L'Jarius Sneed, and they also have their own third-round pick. And it would cost them a future fourth-round pick. So not in this year's draft class, but in next year's draft class, they would trade a fourth-round pick. Rob says he wouldn't do it, thinks the price is too steep. My philosophy on this is use your draft assets to get the things that you really want and you really need. What this organization really needs is a long-term plan at left or right tackle. And I'm not sure if there is ever going to be a perfect year to get one or that perfect prospect because of where the Chiefs usually pick. If you're going to pick in the bottom 5 to 8 picks of the NFL draft every year, the offensive lineman prospect you get is not going to be a premium one. It's going to be the third, fourth, fifth offensive lineman off the board. He's not going to be an elite prospect. He's going to have some question marks attached to him. That's why he's a late first round pick. And if he didn't have those question marks, he would go 9th overall. So I looked this up because Rob wouldn't give up that third round pick. I have written down every third round pick the Chiefs have made since they drafted Travis Kelce. So you guys know Travis Kelce was a third round pick, and Travis Kelce has obviously been a, not even a home run, he has been a grand slam at the 63rd overall pick for the Chiefs. This is every third round pick they have made since they got Travis Kelce. Niles Davis, Philip Gaines, Chris Conley, Steven Nelson, Kavari Russell, Kareem Hunt, Derek Nnadi, Dorian O'Daniel, Colin Saunders, Lucas Niang, Leo Chenal, Wanye Morris. We call the NFL draft a crapshoot, and it obviously is. But the crapshoot really starts in the third round. Now, teams miss on first-round picks. Teams miss on second-round picks. I think the Chiefs are one of the better teams in the league. They have been one of the best drafting teams in the league. This isn't just Brett Veach. This is also John Dorsey, who has made it a track record of being really, really good in the draft. There's one star in here. There's one star. How many starters did I read off from this? Now, that's not to say you're supposed to hit on these third round picks. You're going to miss more times than you make. But my biggest point is, so take that third round in which you have a 10, 15% chance on really hitting. And why don't you take that percentage chance and move it to the first round? Move it to the first round. I mean, even if you get a player like Leo Chenal, who is a good player, I rather use the first round pick plus the opportunity to get Leo Chenal to figure out a long-term solution at right tackle. I think it's worth it. And if you're telling me with Joshua Simmons that we had Matt Miller on the show, and I can play the audio for you, he is telling me that he believes he is the best left tackle prospect in this draft class, but he had an injury. Well, good. Sometimes you got to go get the clearance. Sometimes you got to go get the open box. Sometimes you don't have enough money to buy it brand new with the warranty, but you can still afford it. You just got to get it on the open box. That's what I want the Chiefs to do at left tackle. I think we got to start being realistic about how the Chiefs are going to solve their problem in 2026 or 2027 at left or right tackle. And it is probably not taking a swing in the third round on Wanye Morris. No, it is spending a significant resource to go address, I would say, two of the hardest things to find in the draft. It's not super hard to find a running back. It's not super hard. It's not super hard to find a wide receiver. I don't think it's super hard to find corners in the draft. It's really, really hard to find good offensive linemen. We all watch the National Football League. You think it's a bunch out there? Every Sunday when you sit down, you think the offensive line play in this league is great? It's fantastic? That's not what I see. So if you got a chance to get one who you think can be good, plus you put him in a unique position that he gets essentially a redshirt year, I think you owe it to yourself to take the big swing. I'm coming around on them stashing a left offensive lineman. And maybe that's not a left tackle. Maybe it's a guy that you think can play right tackle next year. And let's say that I would say is a likely outcome. I don't got to go best case or worst case scenario. The likely outcome is that Jalen Moore is a good player. Maybe not a great left tackle. He is a good left tackle in the league that you are fine with having as your left tackle and you're not overpaying for him. Juwan Taylor walks at the end of the year. You get his $20 million back and you can just instantly plug and play whomever you draft in this year's round one, even if you trade up to go get him. I would say that is a likely outcome. I think that is a great outcome for the Kansas City Chiefs and something that right now is at the number one on my board. You guys know some years I'm big on them getting a corner. Some years I'm big on them getting a wide receiver. While the Chiefs don't immediately need anything, they do not need anything, I think you owe it to yourself to take a decent swing and get the best offensive line prospect they've gotten while Brett Veach has been here. I know Creed has turned out to be a great player. Trey Smith has turned out to be a great player. You have a chance if you spend a little bit of draft capital to move up to 21. It will be the best offensive line prospect that you have drafted since he's been there. I would take a swing and I would seriously look at moving up.
Here's my question. Because where me and you differ is, you're right, on the draft chart, like, hey, a second round pick is worth X, you need to package this and that to get up to this location. On the draft chart, me and you are actually on the same page. I don't mind if you use the Legarius Sneed pick to as ammunition to move up to find that left tackle. Maybe you find a left tackle who's so good that he supplants Jalen Moore, and you pay Jalen Moore basically a one-year, $10 million contract to be a backup. That's life in the NFL sometimes. My question is the specifics of this draft. Matt Miller was on the show earlier. Catch the podcast page. He said there's only like two guys that he's like, oh, they're surefire, but they're both going to be gone. Like, it's not a rich offensive tackle draft where a Nate Solder, I know who was with the Patriots for a long time, fell into the mid-20s one year. That's not really a thing in this draft. This draft is, it's better versions of Kingsley. Guys who are projects and maybe can develop into a tackle, but you feel safe, and when you pick them, they can play guard. That's their NFL trend. You're moving up with premium picks to get, pick the guy, Josh Connerly, pick a name.
Yeah.
And you think, okay, worst case scenario, we got a guard. That is worst case scenario if you're moving using all that ammunition to move up.
I don't know if that's let me why don't we play this process out? You say worst case scenario is you draft a guard, then you move on from the guard that right now you have committed to give 20-something million dollars to. You have a rookie play that position, and then you use that $20 million elsewhere. Someone on the text line, CDOT, if you think he's a surefire guy, then you make the trade. But if you're saying he's the best tackle that's still there and we want one, let's see what he's got, then no, I wouldn't make the trade. There is nobody surefire at 31 overall. That's not the way that surefire works. You know who's surefire? Abdul Carter. You know who's surefire? Travis Hunter. That's why they're going in the top five in this draft class. There is nobody surefire at the back half of 31. You're taking a chance at the back half of 31. You're taking a chance. And right now, to me, it is about taking the highest percentage chance that you can. You do not find the Chiefs, to me, have done it wrong in some ways. They've done it wrong. Trying to draft Wanye Morris in the third round and thinking that he's going to be your left tackle, the history of the NFL draft tells you he ain't going to be. Drafting Kingsley Suamataia in the second round and thinking that he is a day one starter at left tackle is a flawed way of thinking if you look at the actual left tackles in this league. They've been taking flyers on left tackle, and they've swung and missed twice at it. Take a legitimate prospect at it. If Josh Simmons was healthy, he would be the best left tackle in this class.
I'd also say that's a massive if with him. That's the entire story
right.
With him. I agree with you on Josh Simmons, but he did get hurt. That happened. We all saw it with our eyes. Like, it's a thing that did happen. You're right. If he wasn't hurt, he'd be a surefire top 10. Do we know the medicals? I know he's telling people I'll be back ahead of schedule. That just because he says it doesn't mean it's true.
No, you're 100% right. I guess my point, though, about nobody is surefire is once you get to this portion of round one, I think it is easy to talk yourself out of why you should use a round one selection. I like Luther Burden. I don't think that's a secret here. He went to Mizzou. Luther Burden quit on Mizzou last year. There's no doubt on my mind. After the Alabama game, maybe during the Alabama game, he got into draft pick preservation mode. He quit last season. He quit openly, I thought, last year. I could find reasons why you should draft Luther Burden in round one. I could find a reason of why you shouldn't draft them in round one. That's kind of the where you are. Felix was right there on the cusp. Let's say that the Chiefs didn't take Felix. There's a chance Felix doesn't go till 50 if the Chiefs don't take him at 32 last or two seasons ago. But they waited. They took him. And look at where they got. Look at where they got. CDOT, I think you're underestimating the talent of offensive linemen drafted in the third round. The Patriots did it for years. It's literally a pillar of their dynasty. I think the pillar of their dynasty was Tom Brady, but okay, it's neither here nor there. Have the Chiefs shown you that they have an ability to draft left and right tackle? There's some things I think the Chiefs are really good at that we don't question. If the Chiefs draft a corner in the third round, I think we all feel very good about it. If the Chiefs take a safety in the third round that's a Swiss Army knife like Chamari Connor, they have a history and track record of doing it. Have the Chiefs shown you that they can wait and wait at left and right tackle and come up with the right answer? I don't think so.
I think we got to start being realistic about what they're good at and what they're not good at. And right now, they're identifying their left and right tackle positions. They have not been strong at it in the draft. Well, one way to be strong at it is take the better prospects at it. Don't take the ninth offensive tackle on the board like Wanye Morris. No, take the third offensive lineman on the board. Take the better college player and then see how it works.
I feel, and you know I'm anti-trade picks guy. So I'm going to be on the side of caution and keep the picks, take multiple swings, especially in a draft that we think, and I think this is the lens I'm looking at. If this is what Daniel Jeremiah said on every podcast he went on, if this is a starter, not star draft, in theory, you should be able to stand pat and find a starter type. Matt Miller was on this show, and he said this is a flat line type of draft, and the difference between guy 14 and 40 is pretty negligible. Now, that doesn't apply to every position, but Matt Miller said that. If he's correct, if the scouting department of the Chiefs agrees, then why am I firing a ton of ammunition to go get guy 14 when I can stand pat, get guy 27 on your board, and feel like you're getting enough value there? I think through the lens of this draft, I would want the Chiefs to be extra patient, extra wait, extra hold picks, because there is nothing about this draft we've heard that screams, oh, there's some can't miss guys, you got to go get them. It's everything you hear is there's a bunch of really good players. It's just a matter of where you get them.
I want to play what Matt Miller had to say. We had him on the show earlier today. He, like many, expects the Chiefs to go on the line of scrimmage in round one.
I would love for it to be Luther Burden. I'd be happy with a tight end, you know, like a Mason Taylor at that spot. I'd be happy with a speedy edge rusher. But when we get back to how this team normally drafts, I'm with you. It's probably going to be a defensive lineman, probably going to be a defensive tackle, unless one of those offensive tackles falls. But you know, I don't know, man. Last time they lost the Super Bowl, they got aggressive, and a lot changed in a hurry. And we didn't see that through free agency, so maybe we see it in the draft. You know, with four picks in the top 95, maybe we see some aggressive movement. I had heard 2 weeks ago that they were at least interested in moving up. You know, the last time they were interested in moving up was the Rashee Rice draft, when no one would trade with them when they wanted to move up. So we will see what happens.
We obviously will see what happens coming up this weekend about the Chiefs and moving up to see if they'll go get the tackle. I mean, there's only one position I'd be super interested in moving up to go get. I mean, I guess I wouldn't be against if they move up to go get a defensive lineman and an edge rusher. It just feels more likely to me that they're going to move up to try to go get an offensive lineman. Here is Matt Miller talking about the defensive line. He thinks that most of the good pass rushers are going to be off the board by the time the Chiefs pick.
Yeah, it's a good defensive end class. I have six guys with a round one grade. I think the issue, again, for Kansas City is five of them are going to be gone by the time you come on the board. Abdul Carter's gone. Jalen Walker's long gone. Shamar Stewart, Mike Green, Mykael Williams. I think those guys are long, long gone. Donovan Ezeraku from Boston College could be there. He is not a Steve Spagnuolo guy because he's light. He does have good length. He has really good speed. But I think from a body type perspective, looking at him, the way that he needs to add the power to his game, 6'2.5", 248 pounds, even with 34-inch arm length, which Spags loves, 6'2.5", 250 is not getting it done for Steve Spagnuolo unless he's really changed his philosophy after watching Nolan Smith in the Super Bowl. So he's a player that could be there at 31. I don't think he's a great scheme fit. I look at the defensive tackle class and think this might be the spot.
That was Matt Miller, joined us on the show earlier today. I don't feel very confident about them going to go get a defensive lineman. Now, it's just mocks. Players go higher than they think. People go lower than they think. People are still on the board. If he's telling me he thinks there's six round one quality, he thinks that five of them will be off the board and one doesn't fit the Chiefs system and scheme, I don't think they're going defensive line, at least edge rusher and pass rush, which I'm obviously for them trying to figure out. I do think this part is pretty interesting, and we talked to him about it just a little bit. And I've got to take a break because McDuffie's about to call in. I am curious how the Chiefs kind of evaluate wide receiver if one of the Burden falls in the draft, or Egbuka, who played at Ohio State. If he's on the board at 31, would they trade back and not take a proven college wide receiver? I think he was a very good college receiver. And what I think has kind of happened with him is he stayed in college too long, and now we're kind of overthinking the kind of player that he was. I think he is ready to come in and help
any team in the National Football League. There's a lot of different directions, obviously, the Chiefs can go in round one. We have a couple of days to figure it out. So, Rob, we're going to break early because we are expecting Trent McDuffie to call in. The next time you hear my voice again, we will be talking to Trent McDuffie. That is the plan. Keep it right here, Mr. Drive.
Hey, it's Lucas Hersig from the Kansas City Royals. You're listening to The Drive with CDOT on 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's...
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Indecision. Overthinking. Second-guessing every choice you make. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Beige on beige on beige. Ugh. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can choose the TV you want with DirecTV.
So now they can pick out their favorite entertainment when they sign up and save money?
You mean if you like sports,
you can get a sports pack.
What about entertainment?
Entertainment pack.
It's like finding an old pizza with your favorite toppings. Which for me would be pineapple and toenails.
Pineapple?
Pay for the TV you want, not the TV you don't. Genre pack starting at $34.99 a month. Visit DirecTV.com for more information. New residential customers only. Local channels vary by market. Services renew monthly unless you cancel online. Credit card required. Restrictions apply.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more. Instacart is on a mission to have you not leave the couch this basketball season. Because between the pregame rituals and the postgame interviews, it can be difficult to find time for everything else. So let Instacart take care of your game day snacks or weekly restocks. And get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Because we hear it's bad luck to be hungry on game day. So download the Instacart app today and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three orders. Service fees apply for three orders in 14 days. Excludes restaurants.
Got this.
I try not to lie to you guys. I told you the next time you heard from me, I'd be talking to Trent McDuffie. Trent McDuffie is on the phone right now. Very excited to talk to him. Trent, how are you doing, man?
You can hear me?
I got you loud and clear, man. How are you?
Okay, yeah, man. I'm doing good. How about yourself?
I'm doing great, Trent. I just want to know if you consider yourself to be a friend of the show. We have a rule. If you come on the show three times, you are a friend of the show. This is now your third time coming on the show. So I consider you friend of the show. Do you consider yourself to be one?
I feel like a friend of the show. Hopefully you keep inviting me back. You know, we got this good relationship going on.
All right, let's start with this. Let's get the football stuff out of the way, and then we'll get to our usual fun questions. Are you hopeful of getting an extension, a deal done this summer?
I mean, whatever happens, happens. You know what I mean? I know what I bring to the table, and I know me and the Chiefs has a good relationship. So when it comes to contract, really, that's something my agent's going to worry about, and I'm going to just go ahead and focus on football and winning games for the city.
Have you started the process of talking to the Chiefs about getting a deal done, or is that something that you're just letting the agent handle fully?
That's fully my agent. I got all the trust in my agent. Shout out Patrick Collins. He's one of the best. And honestly, this allows for me to just keep my mind focused on the main thing, you know, which is football and making sure I'm in the best headspace and physically ready to go out there and produce.
Last question about the contract, and then we'll move on from this. Is it a scenario where you and your agent have a deal in mind, and whenever that number gets there, he calls you and tells you, I've done it? Or are you guys in constant communication about what's going on regarding a future contract?
I mean, we're always in constant conversation. You know, I actually flew him down to California where I spent most of my offseason, and we kind of just talked about everything, about the market, about different dudes getting paid, and really, for me, I don't think there's a set money target that I really want. I just want to be paid based on my value. And really, for me, it's just all about relationships. So no matter what, I just want to make sure that the relationships stay as strong as they can and don't let any of this contract stuff really affect it.
Do you find this part to be stressful about it? You know, you're young and you just want to play football. You want to keep playing at a high level, keep competing for championships, keep playing for championships. Is this part of the business stressful?
I think it can be. You know, I think it comes with its own stressors and really just the unknown, you know, not being in this kind of space. You know, it's my first time really negotiating a contract and seeing where I'm at in my point of my career. So I definitely say there are some stressors, but the team that I have built around me, you know, my agent, as far as shoot, even just my PT, I mean, they really allow for me to stay mentally focused, mentally free. So it's been a little stressful, but for the most part, I mean, it's been easy peasy.
Right now we're talking to Trent McDuffie here, just going over his offseason. All right, I have no more contract questions. I have no more football questions. We are back to our normal, just learning more about you. What is one thing you have planned this summer?
One thing I have planned is my youth football camp. Going on the third year out here in California. Was able to set up a foundation last year, so all proceeds go back to my foundation, and it's something that I honestly just really love to do, you know, come back to my town and give the kids just a few hours to go out there and spend some time with me and throw the ball around.
How rewarding is it to be in that position? I'm guessing you were a kid and you were going to these football camps, that now you're in a position that you can give back.
100%. I mean, I love it. You know, every time I go out there and talk to a group of kids or even just simply go and just watch some guys play football, just knowing the impact that I've been able to create and knowing how much it means to people to hear what I have to say and to hear me on the field, it's special and it's something I don't take for granted. And honestly, it's really what makes me happy. You know, being able to give back and being able to see smiles on other people's faces is really what allows me to get up in the morning and enjoy doing what I do.
I'm sure that you get asked for advice from like a high school kid. Let's say he's 16 years old. He's trying to figure out where he wants to go to school and he eventually wants to be the next Trent McDuffie. What is the biggest piece of advice that you give?
I always say you got to just trust in yourself. I know when I was in high school, I had a lot of coaches. I mean, a lot of outside noise always telling me you can't make, you can't do this, you're too small. And I always say the one person who was able to get me here was me. And so being able to rely on the people you trust and just have that faith in yourself that you can go out there and do it and compete with the best, I always say that's the most important part, because you always go as far as your mind will let you to go.
Right now we're talking to Trent McDuffie here, learning a little bit more about his offseason. All right, that was your answer for the community. I know you have something planned for yourself. You know, you got a lot of time between now and football season. You got some pockets where you can take a trip. You can travel. You can do something. Give us one plan you have for this summer.
Man, let me think. What I'm trying to do, it's not set in stone, but hopefully I can get back down to Mexico, somewhere maybe in Cancun, maybe Cabo. Go sit on the beach for a few days before training camp, because as they all know, once that training camp starts, St. Joe's is tough. So being able to mentally allow yourself to kind of get away from that for a second, there's something I'm going to do. I have nothing planned, so I can't give you any details right now, but just know I'm going to be somewhere on the beach chilling.
No, that makes perfect sense. All right, I'm going to paint a scenario where you can go on a trip, but you can't go to a trip to a place that you've already been. You got to go somewhere for the first time. You and your lady, you are going somewhere that you've never been and she's never been. Where would you pick?
Man, we going out there to my boy George Karloftis out there in Greece. And I already told him the second he ready for me to come out there, I said, I want to come out. I want to meet the fam. I want to get a good home-cooked meal. And that's really the plan, that once he gives me the green light, that's where I'm going to be in Greece. So be on the lookout for that.
Right now we're talking to Trent McDuffie. When was the last time that you took a road trip?
Oh, I couldn't even tell you. I don't know if I've ever taken a road trip.
See, that was one of those things that, like, obviously college worked out well for you, but that was one of those things, like, you needed to have that good college road trip.
You know, I'll say this. Actually, nah, I'll take what I said back. My sister went to college about 8 hours from where I grew up, and there was one time we had to move her in. And we took this 8-hour drive, super long road trip through San Francisco. And to this day, after that trip, I said I won't take another road trip. So it was like a good and a bad thing with that whole thing. But 8 hours in the car, I just can't do it.
8 hours is actually my limit in a car. I don't mind anything eight or less. Now, some places I just will fly, like Denver, for example. There's no reason to drive to Denver. Just fly. It's going to be easier. It's cheap to get there. But 8 hours is at my cap. If I got to sit in this car for 10, 12 hours, I can't do it. Please put me on a plane.
I'm hearing you on that one. I'm glad we can agree with that because I know some people who do it. You know what I mean? I know some people who drive 10, 12 hours. But for me, I'm out to fly. I'll meet you there.
I remember this fall when you came on the show, you told us that you had not been to a concert yet. We need to figure out right now if you're going to go to a concert. Come on. Like that is one of those things as somebody that likes music. You got a little bit of free time. We need to figure out a way to get you to somebody's concert this offseason.
You know, it's funny you said that. I you might be a mind reader or something, but I'm actually trying to go to the Kendrick Lamar SZA concert at some point. You know, I love those two artists. And so I've been in talks with my girlfriend about trying to find a weekend or a plan to go out there and finally see my first concert. Because whenever I tell people, they are pretty shocked about that.
This is actually a really tough topic for me as somebody who was Team Drake. It's been a very, very rough year seeing the beatdown that he's taken.
Yeah, man. You know, Kendrick Lamar, you know, from the city. So I've always been a Kendrick fan day one, but you know, I mean, Drake's good. You know, I can't say too much about Drake, but yeah, I'm about to say Kendrick won that one.
Do you ever go back to watch the Super Bowl halftime performances?
Actually, brother, I do not. But I have some family who was there at the game, and they said it was really good.
Right now, we're talking to Trent McDuffie for a couple more minutes here. All right, Trent, it is baseball season. Let's say that you go to a baseball game. You can put two toppings on your hot dog. What are you putting on it?
Probably ketchup, and that's about it. I'm not gonna lie, I don't really eat hot dogs, but I'm not a mustard fan. I know people like pickled relish, if that's even a thing. Still can't do that. Like I'm simple. You just give me some ketchup, and we're gonna be good.
We love food takes on this show. What is your verdict on meatloaf?
I would probably eat it. You know, I'm not going to hate on meatloaf. I think it's something that every once in a while, it's enjoyable to eat. But I always say every food, anything you eat, it's all based upon the cook. So I'm going to have me a good cook if I'm going to eat some meatloaf.
This is my stance on meatloaf, Trent, because I'm sure you've been to some nice restaurants before. When you and your lady or you and your family are sitting there eating and you ask them, hey, what are you thinking about getting? There's never been a time where she looked over at you and said, man, I don't know, this meatloaf sounds really good. Meatloaf is not that good. Meatloaf is not something anybody orders out.
Honestly, you got me there. I don't think I've ever heard anybody order meatloaf. So, hey. Yeah, you can change my mind. My mind can be changed on this topic. I'll tell you that much.
I actually need your help with this. I like Dippin' Dots, the ice cream. The text line always makes fun of me for liking Dippin' Dots. Where are you at with those?
Dippin' Dots is cool. You know, I can't eat it no more. I'm a little lactose intolerant, but best believe growing up, I see some Dippin' Dots. I was for sure getting me a little baggy.
Last thing here, Trent, we appreciate your time. I believe that every kid had a favorite wrestler at one point. Maybe you grew out of wrestling, but there was a time that you were into it and you had a favorite wrestler. Who was your favorite wrestler as a kid?
Let me think back. Honestly, probably The Undertaker. Undertaker was always cool. You know, he'd always come up from the ground. It's always dark, mysterious. Like, I enjoyed watching that as a kid when I watched wrestling, so... Shout out to The Undertaker.
Yeah, he was actually my least favorite because he was scary. Like, I'll never forget going to that wrestling event for the first time, and it just got dark, and it was just like ominous music. He used to scare me as a kid. Hated The Undertaker.
You know, he's a villain, and right now I feel like where we're at right now on the Chiefs, we got this little whole villain aura going on, so maybe I'm just following the right footsteps.
And that is Trent McDuffie joining us on the show, all-pro corner, enjoying his off-season. Happy enough to have him call in today. Trent, man, great stuff, man. We look forward to catching up with you during the season, man. Have a great offseason.
Of course. Much appreciated. Always good being on the show.
Absolutely. That is Trent McDuffie joining us on the show. Happy to get him to call in today and get his thoughts. Can we officially now put Trent McDuffie on the board as friend of the show?
I mean, that's three.
That's the rule. And by the way, three great appearances. I would do Trent McDuffie weekly. I like Trent McDuffie a lot.
I'm telling you that we changed the course of his career. He had no interceptions before he started coming on this show, and then he turned into Deion Sanders in 95. Once he started coming on this show, good things usually happen. We could have maybe saved MJ Melendez. We could have saved MJ. You want to know, you guys, this is how I know you guys aren't right. 913-586-7965. If our show had the luck that the midday show has, we'd be getting crushed. Constantly getting crushed. Didn't MJ used to go on the midday show?
They were fans, yeah.
What happened to the James MacArthur guy from last year? He was buying t-shirts. Ray was handing t-shirts. We've never done that to a player's career. If this show had done to a player the way the midday show did to James MacArthur, we would never be forgiven by it. You guys aren't fair. You guys aren't balanced. We've changed Chiefs history with Trent McDuffie. We don't get any credit for it. It's okay. We're just going to keep our head down, Rob, and keep doing the work. That's what we do. We keep our head down and we keep doing the work.
I assume, and maybe I'm wrong, that when he eventually gets paid by the Chiefs, he'll thank us in kindness. Now, I don't need a monetary thank. I would take it. It's going to be more money than I'll ever see in my life. But this show is probably the show that's going to get him paid. Brett Veach, I know you're listening. Pay Trent McDuffie.
I mean, that's Veach probably heard that. Man, I should get on that. I just started handling that contract. The number for that guy is only going to go up. It's only going to continue to rise. That's fair. That's it. Someone said, do you think you can have Sky Moore on the show? I think he's too far gone. I think he's too far. We could have got MJ early. We could have got him in the beginning and changed the course of his career. You can't just put your faith. We can't save Hunter Renfrow. We can't save him. It's over. It's gone. They should have had Hunter Renfrow should have been a regularly scheduled guest last season if they wanted to do this thing proper. But obviously, they didn't want to do it proper.
If I recall, last year after the draft when the Chiefs were giving players to the station, we got Xavier Worthy. Was he good last
year? That's true.
The midday show got Kingsley Suamataia. Was he good last
year? That's fair. No, 100%. That's 100%. That's what happens. All those Super Bowl MVPs and stuff, you think that would happen if he was going on other shows? No, not at all. You come on this show, you get a little extra. You get a little boost. That's what we do here. But you know what? Again, we're just going to put our head down and we're going to keep doing the work. Special thanks to Trent McDuffie for popping on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, let's talk a little Royals baseball. Let's also get you ready for the NFL draft. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
Hey, everyone. Quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high-quality meats, or just a quick, healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
If you love your customers, you have to try RingCentral. No matter the size of your business, every call,
every text, every meeting, every customer conversation matters. With RingCentral, you get a reliable business phone, a modern contact center, and built-in AI across every conversation, so you can focus on the moments that matter. See for yourself at ringcentral.com.
RingCentral, intelligent communications you can trust.
Esa-Pekka Salonen's final concerts as music director of the San Francisco Symphony bring legendary artists and epic music to Davies Symphony Hall, culminating in Mahler's electrifying Second Symphony. Tickets at sfsymphony.org.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Hass avocados or mangoes, 4 for $5 or $1.25 each. Signature Farms boneless, skinless chicken breasts or thighs, buy one, get one free of equal or lesser value when you buy two. And enjoy an exclusive digital deal on Sargento shredded or sliced cheeses. 5 to 8 ounce selected varieties, $1.97 each, limit 4. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.